Victoria Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. When you have your Bible ready, just turn over to the book or the letter, the epistle of Romans. Amen. The epistle of Romans, chapter 5. Chapter number 5. And we're going to parade and peruse the periphery of those first 5 verses. I don't know if we'll add in anything. Just we'll see what the Spirit says.
Amen.
Amen. But we're going to read the first 5 verses and see what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen.
Amen.
When you have it, say,
I have the word,
and I'm ready to receive it. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. May our God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade away, but the word of God stands forever. Using those 5 verses, I want to talk to you from this simple topic, and I just want, you know, I'm more concerned about you hearing the word and getting it than I am about anything else. So I want you to think about this in this thought, the believer's advantage. Amen. Those 5 verses reveals some advantages that believers have. Amen. When we look at this book of Romans, we find out that this book has been written by Paul the Apostle, and Paul wrote this to the Romans, and he really laid down some serious doctrine. He laid it down because there were some things that he wanted them to understand and know so that their faith would not be shaken. I would always encourage any Christian to study the book of Romans, because in it you'll find out who you are. You'll find out your position in Christ. You'll find out the love of God. You'll find the grace of God. You'll find the peace of God. You'll find how he chose us to become the purpose of God, the image of his son. Amen. Because that is the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to become the image of Christ. I know we think it's to just come to church and have a good time, but the ultimate goal is that whatever we get at church, we take it out of here and we become the image of Christ. We start to look like him. Amen. And when we start to look like him, we become better people, and then we become better neighbors. Amen. And then we actually give glory to God in the earth, because now we look like God, or we look like Christ who looks like God. Athanasius, one of the early church fathers, he said this. He says that we are an image of the image. In other words, we are an image of who God created Christ to be. Amen. Or who God was in Christ. Amen. So we are an image of who God was in Christ. So who was Christ? Christ was God in the flesh. Amen. And so that is the image that we ought to portray. Amen. So Paul begins to talk to them, and he clears up some things. He talks to them about sonship. He talks to them about so many other things. He talks about the doctrine of salvation. He talks about faith, because in verse 4, he talks about how Abraham, how by faith it was deemed to him as righteousness. Amen. He also tells us that if we don't know God, then we are not saved. Amen. Then we are lost, according to 1 John 5:12. If we don't know God, then we're lost. Amen. And some people even claim to know him when they really don't, because they did not come through by Christ Jesus. Amen. There's only one way to know God. We need to get that down. And that is through Jesus Christ. Amen. So he clears up some things, and he lays heavily the first four chapters on how mankind truly have become sinners in need of a Savior. It is important for us to know that all of us at one point we were under the wrath of God. We were destined to be destroyed or to be sent to hell because we were what? Sinners. But now because of our connection by faith and because of Jesus Christ, now we have become the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so that takes us out from under the wrath. Now look at this in the believer's advantage. We look at verse 1 and we find that we have the advantage because of the acceptance we have through God, through Christ to God. Amen. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing we got to understand is that you are accepted. You're accepted because of the justification that took place on the cross of Calvary. It's not because you decided to do something, amen, but it's more because he decided to do something. He decided to send his only begotten son. He decided to send Jesus to die for our sins. And so this allowed us the opportunity to be accepted into the family of God, to be accepted to where we were once aliens, we were once afar off, but now because of Jesus, we can now approach the throne of God. That's why he says, come boldly to my throne of grace and you would what? Obtain mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is God not giving us what we truly deserve. In other words, we truly deserved death. We truly deserved punishment. We truly deserved hell. But God said, I'll have mercy on your souls and won't give you what you truly deserve. Now, on the flip side of that, there is grace. So what is grace? Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Amen. He's given us unmerited favor. In other words, I didn't do anything to deserve this access. I didn't do anything. I could never be good enough for God to just take me in. Anybody that has been born in this earth, you're never ever good enough for God to just take you in and say, boy, you are so righteous. None of us are. But because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus that was shed, we have now become right with God. Now, what I'm saying now when we say justified does not mean that you're right, but what it means is that you've been treated as you were right. In other words, you've been wrong as two left shoes. But God treats you as if you're right. And that's why we can't boast and get prideful in righteousness. Amen? Because the righteousness we had is not our own. It is of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are just filthy, just dirty. I don't care how good you can go all day long and stay away from people. Say, I'm not going to get around people because I don't want to sin. I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to lie. And then guess what? There's still a thought that'll pop up and you got to push it down. You got to say, I rebuke that. So you'll still have some stinking thinking. If you were by yourself, you know what? You would still be a sinner. Amen. But because of Jesus now, he has made God look at us in a right way. When he sees us, he doesn't see us the way that we see each other. Because when I see you or when you see me, you see a person that who has faults. You see a person who's frail. Amen. Or you see a person who has made some mistakes in life. But when God sees me, he sees me through the blood of Jesus. And because of that, that is an advantage. Because of that, he sees me and he does not judge me according to my sin. Oh, my God. Now, that's a shouting point right there, because we are accepted when we should not be accepted. Amen. And so acceptance here, when we talk about acceptance, we have been treated right. as a person who was guilty, but now he's not guilty. You know how we, you know, in America we get mad, and you know, remember a little while back when they was going through all of this, the Black Lives Matter, and we know these police officers had been had done something wrong. They had killed a man, choked a man to death, or whatever it was, shot a man down who was unarmed, and then the grand jury goes in and they acquit them. And we get upset because we know that they're guilty, but the grand jury say they're innocent. That is exactly what God has done for us. We were guilty. Amen. But even though we did what we did, there was a grand jury, there was a grand judge that looked at us and says that you're not guilty. I acquit you so that you don't have to go through the process of a hearing. I wish I had somebody. Oh, Lord. So he says now that because through Christ we have been acquitted, we have been, the charges have been dropped. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, it is by faith, it is our belief in Christ that causes us to be acquitted from the thing that we should have been guilty and convicted of. Amen? And he said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the one thing that we got to understand is that we can try to make peace with God, but you can't make peace with God. Jesus already made it for you. the peace of God. You can't have the peace of God, amen, until you have Jesus Christ. Amen. And in order for us to have the peace of God, we have to have the peace with God through our faith in Christ Jesus. I can't go to God on my own and say, God, I want to make peace with you. And the Bible even tells us, I think it's in Romans 8:7, he tells us that all of us, we are enemies to God until we believe in Jesus Christ. And now we're no longer enemies to God, but now we are in alliance with God. Amen. Amen, amen. And so we got to learn that our acceptance is based upon what we believe. If you believe that Jesus died and he rose again from the dead the third day, that he is the only begotten of the Father, then you can be accepted. But if you believe half of that, if you believe part of that and not all of that, then you might not be accepted. Amen? Because you got some religions that believe that Jesus was a good man, that he was a prophet, that he was a supernatural person, but he was not God. Come on and say amen. And when we believe that, then we believe the wrong thing. But he was who he was. He was Emmanuel. That word means God with us. Amen. And so we have been accepted. Amen. Accepted by him. Amen. So that is an advantage, to be accepted. Now, what are we accepted in? We are accepted in the kingdom. We are accepted in the family. And so if we are in the kingdom, we reap all the kingdom benefits. Amen. Let me give you a simple example. If in the United Kingdom, all of the healthcare is free because everybody works for the government or for the kingdom of the United Kingdom. And so if you get sick in the United Kingdom, you can go to any hospital, any doctor, and they will treat you free and you can walk out and leave. But if you're in the United States and you are citizens of the United Kingdom, if you're that far away from your citizenship or where you're supposed to be, if you're in the United States and you get sick, you still have to pay. The benefits don't get extended if you're away from the kingdom. Oh my God, I wish I had a few people. The benefits won't. It won't benefit you if you're away from the kingdom. So it's important for us to make sure that we're in place in the kingdom and God will accept us. Come on and say hallelujah. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And so we have peace with God because of the faith we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. But then he says, now after the acceptance, we have an advantage because we have access. We have access to God. Amen. And so when he start talking about access, this is a type of favor we don't really deserve. We're able to enter into his presence. Without this, we would not be able to enter into his presence. We would not be able to have this blessed advantage. He says, by whom? By Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand. In other words, we ought to be able to stand or to be fixed and unmoved in this type of grace. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let anything move me from this grace. What is this grace? It's undeserved, unmerited favor that we have. It's a benefit that we have that we don't deserve because we have given our faith, our allegiance, our trust to God. When you don't give your allegiance to God, you don't give your faith to God, and you don't have trust in God, then guess what? You don't have access to God. Because the only way to God is by faith. The only way that we can be saved is by faith. The only way that you can be healed is by faith. The only way you can be delivered is by faith. And so we have access to God by faith, but it is this grace that he's given us, this grace, this unmerited favor. This is something that we don't really deserve. And you know, it's not because we've been so good, but it's because God is so good. Amen. So we stand in this way. This is the way I'm going to stand. I'm not going to move from this spot because this is the spot where I get favor. This is the spot where grace is extended to me. This is the spot where God do things for me that I don't deserve. I wish I had somebody. You know, you don't really deserve half the stuff that God does for us. We don't deserve not even a fourth of the things that God do for us. We didn't even deserve to be woke up this morning because we know what we did last night. Preach. We don't deserve, amen, the things that he blessed us with throughout our life because we know we've been pretty rotten. I know I've done some rotten things in my life. I'm not exempt from this. Amen. I'm preaching to myself too. And so we have to understand that it's because of the access through the grace of God that we ought to stand in and be able to rejoice. Look at that. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And if anything, I rejoice in. I rejoice in the grace that God's given me. I rejoice that my name has been written in the Lamb's book of life. I rejoice in the hope of God's glory. When we start talking about the hope of God's glory, we need to understand that we hope in the presence of God, being able to be in his presence forever. We're going to live in his presence because we have access now to be in his presence. And then when we pass from death, from death to life truly, then we have access to God's throne. We have access to heaven. We have a place in him that we'll be able to behold his face. We'll see the eternal. Come on and say amen. Because we stand in grace, we have what? Access. Amen. This doctrinal message don't always make you feel good or shout, but I hope that it makes you have a foundation that you won't be moved by the deception that may come in the days to come. Amen. So I rejoice. This is what I rejoice in. I don't rejoice in how good I've been. And I don't get built up in my own self-righteousness. Because when we get built up in self-righteousness, then we are wrong because we're not right at all. Amen. We're not right at all. And so because I know some scriptures and because I pray a little bit, that don't make me no better than the next person. But what makes me good and what makes me better is the fact that I have faith in God. Amen. Here. Hallelujah. Here we go. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now, this is the part, maybe I didn't speak to you in acceptance or in access, but we have the advantage even in affliction. Look at this. He says, not only so, not only do we rejoice in the hope of his glory, but look at this, but we glory in tribulation. We glory in tribulation. The word glory here is to have a good and perfect light. It means to dwell in the magnificence of God. Oh, I like that. We have good and perfect light. When I go through my trials, I can see fine. Because I'm not in darkness about this. This stuff don't surprise me what I'm dealing with. I know the enemy's going to try to attack. I know the devil is going to try to kick up. I know he's going to do some things to try to hinder me and hurt me. I expect that from him. So why do we seem so surprised when we go through trials? Why do we seem so surprised when we go through situations? Now, the word tribulation there is the word pressure. It means to be pressed together, but you know what? I'm not moved. I've been pressed together. I'm in a jam. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. It seems that this stuff has got the squeeze on me. Oh, come on and say amen. But I learned how to stand under pressure. Oh, come on and say hallelujah. When pressure is applied, it will show you the integrity of something. People always used to say pressure will bust the pipe. But if that pipe has been tested underneath that type of pressure, then when that pressure comes, that pipe won't burst. In other words, here I am. I've been tested. I've been under pressure. So whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God begins to lift up a standard. And then I remember what God said, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I begin to remember what God said, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from them all. I realize that I'm going to be afflicted, but I still have an advantage. He says, but we glory in tribulations. How is it that we glory in tribulation? It's because through tribulation, the Bible says that even when we're in tribulation, that his angel encamp all about us when we go through stuff. In other words, God builds a tent around us to protect what's precious to him. Even though the enemy has come, even though he's done what he's done and caused you some anguish and some affliction, God said that I'll still deliver you. I'll still give you an anointed. Just because you go through don't mean that you're not anointed. Just because the devil attacks you, it really means that you are anointed, because he really attacks anointed people. He really comes against people who God has anointed for a special purpose to use in his kingdom. And so when you see things happening in your life, you need to say, glory to God, I'm anointed. But you know what I love about that? I'm anointed to be able to go through that stuff because he's put the squeeze on me. I don't know if you ever grabbed something that was oily, huh? I don't know if you ever grabbed something that was anointed or oily, because when you squeeze it, it does what? Slips right out of your hand. And so even when the enemy comes to afflict me and he squeezes me, he puts the squeeze and the pressure through tribulation, I still slip right out of his hand. He can't hold you down because you are anointed. Tell somebody, I'm anointed. I'm not going to be able to be squeezed like the devil thought he was going to squeeze me. He won't be able to hold on to me like he thought he had me. But I'm moving on. Oh, come on and say, man, I'm pressing toward the mark. I'm able to go through this affliction and this time and glory in it, because now I'm shining like God. I begin to look like God. If I'm able to endure my tribulation, if I'm able to endure my circumstance, I start to look like Jesus, who endured his cross, who endured hell, who endured death and the grave, but he rose up early Sunday morning to show the glory of God. I know the enemy's been trying to take you out. He's fought you on every hand. He's fought you with your body. He made you sick. He's fought you with your mind. He tried to take your peace. He's fought you with your family, your children. He's fought you on your job. He's putting the squeeze everywhere you go. But while he's squeezing, he don't understand, if you keep squeezing, you're going to get something out of me that you didn't know I had in me. You're going to get that God that's in there. Oh, come on and say amen. You can't have lemonade unless you squeeze the lemon. You can't have orange juice unless you squeeze the orange. And so you can't have God unless you squeeze the God man. And when I'm squeezed, then God shows up. Then God turns up and shows out in my life. He shines forth. He said, but I glory in tribulation. I might glory in the fact that I'm saved and I have acceptance and access to God, but I glory more so because I'm afflicted. I'm afflicted. I become more like God while I'm being afflicted. Look at this. He said, the reason why is that knowing that tribulation works patience. In other words, people have been asking for patience. Oh, Lord, pray, Pastor, pray for me to have patience. I pray, Lord, take them through whatever you got. Wait, hold on. I ask for patience, not trials and tribulation. But the scripture said tribulation works patience. In other words, the only way that I can really get true patience, the only way that I can operate in patience is that if I go through tribulation, I'm able to stand the test while I'm in tribulation. Amen? And then you learn how not to panic. You ever talk to somebody that's older than you, some of us young people? You talk to somebody that's older, and maybe some of us older people, when you were young, you talked to somebody that was older and told them everything that was going on, and all they had to say when they looked at you is that it's going to be all right. Just keep on living. It's going to be okay. And what they were trying to tell you is that the only way that you'll be able to get patience through this, the only way that you'll be able to get any glory through this is to keep on keeping on. You can't stop because things don't go your way. You can't stop because things have come against you. You can't stop because the enemy has fought you tooth and nail. Every time I turn around, there he is. If it ain't raining, it's snowing. If it ain't snowing, it's flooding. Now, if I like the snow melts. If I like the sun, it starts to rain. Look like everything I try to do is the opposite of what I want to happen. Well, don't worry about that, because you're going to be able to have patience to know the times, the season, and you'll be able to do the things that God wants you to do because you've learned to have patience. Why is it important to have patience? Because with patience, you'll understand how to possess the promise. It was Abraham who God told, leave your family, go out from among them, but he didn't know where he was going, but he had patience with God that God would show him a land whose builder and maker was God. I wish I had somebody. He believed God. Sarah, who was an old woman, 90 years old, she gave birth to a son by the name of Isaac, who was a promise, but she had to wait 25 years after God said it for her to be able to possess the promise. And I don't care how long ago God said it. I don't care how long ago you believed it. I believe that if you trust God, that God will deliver everything that he said he would. God is not a man that he should lie, nor is he the son of man that he has to repent. But God will change the times and the seasons just to get you what you got to get. If God said you can have something and they say, oh no, you got to have a degree to have it, guess what God will do? God will lift that up and give it to you. Y'all don't believe me. I'm telling you, it'll happen. I'm a witness here. Oh, glory to God. I wish I had somebody here that understand, even if the enemy, even if the world, even if man says no, God can still say yes. What happened to the church that believed that God can say yes in the midst of mankind's no? If the doctor say no, God can say yes. If the lawyer says no, the judge said no, the president says no, guess what God can say? Yeah. Oh, come on and say amen. God said, I don't have to promise you, I'll make my yay yay and my nay nay. I wish I had somebody. If God said it, I believe it. It ought to settle it for you and me. Amen. And so even in our afflictions, we should glory. Amen. We should realize that the glory of God rests upon us. Amen. So I'm in a place, even in tribulations, that I'm in a place of grace that I won't be moved. Remember what Paul said, God has given me this thorn in the flesh. He said, a messenger of Satan has come to buffet me. And I went to God three times and I said, God, move this. God, move this. God, move this. God didn't say anything. But the third time he said, my grace is sufficient. In other words, God has said, while you go through your trial, while you've been pressed, while you've been poked and prodded, if you just trust me, my grace will get you through this. My grace will be able to help you to endure hardness as a good soldier. My grace is here to make sure to carry you through whatever it is, because you can't get through all by yourself. You can't make it all by yourself. Now you got to keep telling yourself that I'm making it by the grace. Oh, we used to sing that old song, by the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. Anybody can testify today, if it had not been for the grace of the Lord, I've come a long way. Amen. He said, tribulation work patience. I'm almost through. And patience what? Experience. The word experience, when we look into this word experience, it means that we develop some integrity, we develop some trust, we develop some character while we go through. Oh my God, today. Sometimes we go through something and we talk negative, and we go through and we talk all kind of talk. But then we realize it didn't help us to get out of our situation. But in fact, it made it worse. But then we go through another situation and you say, this time, I'm not going to say all that negativity. This time, I'm not going to be around all that negativity. This time, I'm going to pray more. This time, I'm going to get in the word more. So it begins to build your character. You start to saying the things that you should say. You start to saying that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You start saying I am a child of God. I've been bought with the price. I wish I had somebody. And you start realizing that God loves you so much that he will turn your captivity and give you some deliverance. Do I have any witnesses? He said that you start, once you have patience, you have enough experience to begin to hope in God. And he says, then you have a hope that makes you not ashamed. And so I start getting a character. I start to care how I act. Oh, my Lord in here. I start to have character. I start to care how I act when I go through my tribulation. Some of us don't care how we act when we get something on our mind, when we go through some stuff, when we're under pressure, then we start cursing and acting a fool, swearing, wanting to fight, wanting to do all this stuff. We want to act a clown and put on our clown suit, bring the circus to town, get out all the beasts and act a fool and put on a show for all the bystanders. You got